Talks are underway to get more food exports out of Europe's battered breadbasket. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. How can we get more grain out of Ukraine? That is the question top of the agenda for leaders meeting right now in the western Ukrainian city of Lviv. Around the table are UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. The talks follow a deal brokered by the UN and Turkey, which has seen 24 ships leave Ukrainian ports bound for destinations across Europe and Africa. The BBC's Hugo Bacega is in the capital, Kiev, and explains how much more supply is waiting to be exported.
There is a huge backlog in Ukraine from last year's harvest, 20 million tons of grain waiting to be exported. The Ukrainians hope that with this deal, they're going to be able to export 3 million tons of grain a month. During these talks, because Turkey helped the UN broker this deal, so that's why President Erdogan will be also taking part in this meeting between Mr. Guterres and the Ukrainian President Zelensky. And I think it is going to be also an opportunity to celebrate this deal, which marked a rare diplomatic breakthrough in this conflict.
And you mentioned there that Turkey has played a very key role in restarting these exports. But President Erdogan has also personally met with President Putin in Russia and made a number of his own trade agreements with Russia. Now, there's criticism that he's sort of using the war to his own advantage. Could Ukraine perhaps ask for conditions around any agreement that Turkey brokers? Does that seem to be an issue for President Zelensky?
We understand that there will be a bilateral meeting between Mr. Erdogan and Mr. Zelensky. Turkey plays a vital role because that's where the inspections are carried out. That's where the Joint Coordination Committee is located. So Turkey has played a very important role in this deal, but we haven't been given any kind of indication of what is likely to happen in terms of any other deals that could be reached as a result of the talks today.
At the same time, Russia says these talks are part of a, quote, provocation at the Russian-occupied Zaporizhia nuclear power plant. There's been heavy shelling there, and now both sides are worried that any escalation could have catastrophic results.
I think the other main topic on the agenda, the tensions around the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant. For days, Russia and Ukraine have traded accusations of shelling near the complex. The Ukrainians have accused the Russians of turning this facility into a military base, using it to launch attacks against Ukrainian towns, perhaps knowing that Ukrainian forces are unlikely to retaliate. The Russians deny those accusations. They say Russian troops are there protecting this facility. The Russians have occupied this complex since the beginning of March. Mr. Guterres has in the past called for the creation of a demilitarized zone around this facility. And interestingly, yesterday during his evening address, President Zelensky said Ukrainian diplomats were working to send UN inspectors to the complex, but I can't see it happening without a deal with the Russians. And so far, we haven't seen any indication that the Russians are open to the idea of allowing monitors into the plant.
The BBC's Hugo Bacega watching those talks today for us in Kiev. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Checking the numbers now, European bond yields are on the rise after fresh data showed inflation across the 19-country eurozone surged 8.9% in July from a year ago, hitting a fresh record. Excluding the volatile food and energy sectors, which have been hard hit by the war, prices were still up more than 5% on the year. Meanwhile, stocks across Asia ended lower today. Chinese tech giant Tencent reported its first ever drop in sales. During the second quarter, it was hit by declines in ad spending and heavy scrutiny by Beijing on its online gaming business. Still, the company vowed to return to growth, which sent shares up 2.7% in Hong Kong. The U.S. is again turning up the heat on simmering tensions with China. Washington has announced it will begin talks with Taiwan on a new trade and investment deal. It comes just weeks after an unexpected visit by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to the island. The BBC's Joao da Silva has more on that story.
It's called the US-Taiwan Initiative on 21st Century Trade, which was first announced in June. Now, the two sides say they are ready to start formal negotiations toward a deal. Talks will focus on easing trade barriers in areas including e-commerce, agriculture, and the environment. Trade between the US and Taiwan was worth nearly $106 billion in 2020. Today's announcement comes at a time of heightened tensions in the Taiwan Strait. Earlier this month, a visit by US House Speaker Nancy Pelosi sparked a strong reaction from China, which responded by holding its largest ever military drills around the island.
That's the BBC's Joao De Silva reporting there. We mentioned rising inflation today, while a global shortage of fertilizers caused by Russia's war in Ukraine is driving up food prices and leaving poorer countries facing crisis. On the African continent, the higher cost of imported fertilizer means staples like wheat, maize, and soybeans are now under threat. The BBC's Sarah Adam took a look at how farmers in Tanzania are coping.
Losim Lazaro is a tomato farmer in Arusha, North Tanzania. He applies his fertilizer on his 5-acre piece of land. But like many other farmers in Tanzania, he is facing a fertilizer shortage.
I'm targeting to get 1,000 boxes per acre. If I'm short of fertilizers, I might get around 500 boxes to 600 boxes per acre.
Tanzania relies on fertilizer from Russia and China, the two leading global manufacturers. As a result of the current sanction on Russia, the amount of fertilizer available has been halved. Small farmers across the country are turning to the Minjingu Mines and Fertilizer Company. They're experiencing a sudden increase in demand and are struggling to fill orders. And Director Toski Han says they are also unable to increase their capacity due to heavy taxes.
Manufacturers locally have to pay a lot of taxes. And where the importers, you know, they have no duty to pay, they have no other taxes to be paid.
A global non-governmental organization that promotes green solutions in Africa, AGRA, has suggestions on how Tanzania can become self-sufficient. Viani Rendelas is AGRA's country manager in Tanzania.
In the longer term, you need to attract investors and give them concessions and make sure that we get these things locally, because dependence on import would have such adverse issues when such shocks would arise.
Tanzania farmers are dependent on subsidized fertilizer from the government, but it is distributed sporadically. The Tanzania Fertilizer Regulatory Authority has been trying to find a solution, according to Dr. Stefan Gailo, Executive Director.
With the increased fertilizer production, we are hoping that the prices for different fertilizer will drop to the extent that farmers can be able to afford.
African companies are in the process of upscaling production, but this is still short of the amount required to fulfill the needs of the agricultural sector. In Tanzania, I am the BBC's Sarah Adam for Marketplace.
And here in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.